Father, we come again to you and ask you to bless us tonight. Think of these who turn aside the things of the world to be here, Lord. Be faithful in the fact that people know that when they come, they're going to hear the word of God proclaimed. And so we look to you to meet with us. Holy Spirit, help us grow. Help us be better than we were when we came and learn things we didn't know before we came. Or at least, if not, be able to put them, make them applicable to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to take your Bible and turn to James chapter 1 with me. And tonight, this is a part one of a part two message, and it'll be about 3 weeks before we get back to part two. But I believe this is very important because I guess the fact is that the older you get in the Lord, the more you see. Sometimes people feel just because they can read, and you can read the Word of God. And you heard me say a few weeks ago, anyone can read the Word of God. If you can read, you can read the Word of God. You may not understand it, but you can read it. Now, you may have some big words you come to once in a while. And I've learned if I get down, if I want to dissect a word, learn how to pronounce it, and practice it 3 or 4 hours, I'm pronounceable these words. So sometimes when I'm reading the Old Testament, cut out time, I come to a word and they say, that's a big word, Lord, and I can move on. And then go back later when I need to understand what that one word means. Because there are some pretty good-sized words in the Bible. But anybody can read words, but you can't understand it. And so the Lord pressed my heart a few weeks ago to start thinking about how to study God's Word. When you're reading the Word of God, it's observation. You heard me say a few weeks, there's a formula, I believe, that works in physical life and also spiritual life. The only difference is the Holy Spirit teaches us in the spiritual life. And so reading the Word of God is observation. We're trying to understand and observe what we're reading to the fact that we may can't put it together, but we know the words. By the way, many words we may know exactly what they mean as far as meaning is concerned, but not how to apply them as far as life is concerned as a Christian. And so as I look at that, I understand that reading this book is one thing, and as I'm observing what maybe people say that God is saying and on the surface. And so an unsaved person can read this book just like words you and I read, if they can read. Amen? Now, what you think? Wait a minute now. Get the machine out of us and think human being. If a person can read words in the English language, they can read this book that's in our, has been brought to our language, that is revealed to us and given to us in our English language, they can read the same words. But you can't understand it unless you have the Holy Spirit of God. And you don't get the Holy Spirit of God without being born again. And when a person is born again, then it don't automatically give us the things we need other than what we need for eternal life. You and I can't do anything to get eternal life if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But once we get saved, born into the family of God, that which God has done for us, we cannot do for ourselves. Then there's instruction to us from the Word of God that we should be doing certain things as we read. And you'll see that in James. And this would be where we'll stay at most of the time for the night. And part one tonight, we're talking about how to study God's Word. Now, when you heard me say a few weeks ago, and I have this in the back of my Bible to keep reminding me when I approach this book, and I talked about there's observation, interpretation, revelation, illumination, and then application. Anything in life, if you begin to look at, to read, or evaluate, you observe it. But observing along don't tell you things about it. You just know there's something there. It may something be wrong. Maybe you're looking at something, can't tell exactly what's the matter. So you observe what's going on, but then you move a step further. And I see this in the medical world all the time. You go to the doctor and you say, this is wrong with me. The doctor on this side of something's happened. He said, well, let's run some tests. He's observing, trying to find out what's wrong, because you cannot give a remedy unless you know what's wrong. And sometimes they can't come up with what's wrong. And so they say, well, there's certain things that happen. You're a little older, you know, sometimes you have this and that. Sometimes they can't, but they still try their best to interpret next what to do with the situation they found that was observation. And then once they interpret that, they begin to try to look at revelation. In a sense, what can we do to correct this thing? And then suddenly they get into something and they illuminate, hey, this is the problem. We found it now. So they put applicant to that to correct the problem. And they learn from that to put an application into their life. That's the physical world. Well, the Word of God, we find a similar same thing. We read the book for observation. But the Holy Spirit has to be in our heart to interpret what we read. Come on, help me out a little bit now. So I know at least I'm not, if not, I'm going to spend a lot of time on things I shouldn't be spending. You should know that, we should know these things. And once I began to see the interpretation of something that I'm trying to understand, imply of what I'm reading in words of understanding, get in the right context, get in the right place, understand each individual word as I do word study and so forth, then suddenly God begins to give revelation. And you've heard me say, I can give information, but I can't give revelation. God has to do that. I can give words, in turn the Holy Spirit can use to reveal to someone as he to use the words revealed to me. And when revelation comes, then suddenly God, you'd be thinking, you may be studying something for weeks and weeks and not have an answer for it or have it set to the side like I do. And then you'd be somewhere or another, and all of us, and you say, heard me say a few weeks ago, they bring you up to date out of the blue at the stoplight or somewhere else you're not even thinking about it, and suddenly a thought comes to your mind. And that's when the Holy Spirit is simply catching our thought when we don't even think the least about it. Let us know he's not forgot us. And suddenly you say, man, I got to write that down. Because when I go back to what I was studying, I'm going to have to see that he's given me not only a revelation, but he's illuminated something in my mind. And when I get the first four together, if I get the observation and I get the interpretation, I get the revelation, I get illumination, then God says the fifth thing to do is apply it in your Christian life. Because if you don't apply it, then there's nothing else coming from God. Because if we won't act on what we know, why should he waste his time to give us something we don't know? Now, folks, I'm just thinking from an intellectual standpoint as a child of God, and God deals with us physically, but he also deals with us spiritually. And so when I come to this thing, Bible truth, I have to understand the scripture. First, we believe the record of God's Son. If we don't believe the record of God's Son, we have nowhere else to go to receive anything. And 1 John teaches us that in 1 John 5 through 10 through 13. And once I believe the record of God's Son, I see in John 1, 12, I have to receive the person of Jesus Christ. Just believing the record is not enough. Unbelieve the record till I die and go to hell. But you have to receive the person that the record is telling us about. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:12 tells us that. And so when I believe of observation the truth and begin truth and began to trust in the person as my personal Savior, then I find that the Holy Spirit works this thing, a conception by the Holy Spirit, because spiritual birth takes place. Romans 10:9-10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, God raised him from the dead. You see how those words give us exactly what needs to be done to be born into the family of God? Started with observation. It started actually when I began to look at Scripture. Well, I believe this to be the Word of God. I believe this, but why? I have no reason why. I'm reading and I'm studying. I believe God loves people, all these things. But when I receive Christ as Savior, I'm stepping beyond the record and believing the record to the fact that I do exactly what God says in the record I should do. And the Holy Spirit then all of a sudden lets us understand that when we are conceived by the Holy Spirit, born into the family of God, we have the spiritual birth, which is a birth from Romans 10:9-10. Then I understand what God said in 1 Samuel 15:22. When I've gone through the first four, then I must obey the word of God. And God told through Samuel that it's better to obey than to give sacrifice. And so now I've found how to go through the circle as I study the Word of God. And so tonight, how do study? Let's look what we see in the book of James. I want to read James, just this one place, James chapter 1, and we'll read down to verse 21 through verse 25. Now look at verse 16 through 25. Look at verse 16. James said this as a pastor to his parishioner and writing the book, and yet for all God's people, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now I believe that God wants that in our heart. He wants us to understand there's a right way and a wrong way. Amen? If not, we don't need God. If there's a right way, not a wrong way, we don't need God. If there's a wrong way, then not a right way, then who's going to help us anyhow? But we know there is a right way, there is a wrong way. And James says this as he writes, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, do not err, but what do you mean do not err? I've got to have more than just that, because what is error? What is doing that which is wrong? We may come up with something in society in the sense to govern ourselves right and wrong, but with God it goes further than that. And then notice he said, every good and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom it's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We looked at a few weeks ago in another survey where it means there's no variation in God as we looked at the self-existing one. Now look in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Boy, he sticks that in there. Now, let me ask you something. Would you evaluate yourself? When I first saw that and see it now sometimes, I think this way. Notice God said through James, therefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But I guarantee you, if you look in the mirror of God's word, you'll find out that you most of the time were slow to hear and swift to speak and swift to wrath. You know, I listen, but we don't want to listen that fast. Swift to hear. And then notice he said, slow to speak and slow to wrath. Don't you find most of the time people are swift to speak? And if you get hot, they're swift to show their wrath. They don't mind doing it. We're in the body of flesh that's fallen. And therefore, but God turns it around. He said, you should be slow to hear and be, notice again, and you should be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Now watch. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Isn't that interesting? Why would he tell us that? He said, because the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. So when the one's in a wrath stage, God is not working like they should or like he wants to in one's life. The only place where you might be even possibly right if you're against sin. And there's righteous indignation comes in. But it's another thing you have to study out and look for. Then notice he said, wherefore, lay apart. Now watch this. He's talking, you can't do this without being born again. And when I get introduction, reading these verses and take it verse for verse and word for word, you begin to take most of the time of the service before I even get into the message. But notice he said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity has the meaning of overflowing of wickedness. It's so bad you don't even measure it as being that bad because it's norm when it's actually being that worst that you could think of in life. And he said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. If the engrafted word is able to save our soul, it's able to teach us what God wants us to do after we're saved. It's the same word. God's word gives us how to be saved. God's word gives us how that we should be taught to live. And then notice when he says that, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only deceiving your own self. If we only hear the word and not do the word, he said, we're deceiving ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, every word verse is very loaded with information. And then notice, he said, for if any would be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And I wonder how he has read that and thought about it and said, I know what it means and yet don't even know how to practice that in the sense. We look into the mirror. Let me ask you something. Not too many people looks into a mirror and say, you know, I ain't combed my hair this morning. I need to comb my hair before I leave. Not too many look, ladies, you look and some other, and all of a sudden there's a smut on the side of the face where you were cooking, got on there, and you say, I need to remove that before I leave. So what you see, what is there, and you do applicable what's needed to get rid of it. Well, the mirror of God's word's that way, but most of the time we read in God's word, it tells us what to do. We see it in the reflection because of our lives, and yet for some reason we go out the door and not to put it applicable. Wonder why? Because the flesh is so fallen, sometimes we say, it can't be that bad. Can't be that bad. Everybody's going to heaven anyhow. It can't be that bad. This world's going to be shocked one day, folks, when we see God put his hammer down, as Brother Mickles used to say, and in turn brings things as they are. Then notice he said, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man was. But whosoever looketh into, watch this, the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not for forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religious in vain. Boy, I don't have to explain that. If you're saved, you understand that. Then he said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Isn't that amazing? We understand about visiting those elders and so forth as afflicted. But he said, keep himself. You keep yourself unspotted, watch, from the world. That is, you can't do it by yourself, but you know that God's there to help you to understand what it means to keep yourself unspotted from the world. So I'm going to talk a little bit now about how to study God's Word. You know, Christians can never grow in knowledge, in skills, and be of use to the Lord without having a strong working knowledge about God's Word. Do you think that may be the reason why Satan tries to keep people hearing the gospel so the Holy Spirit can't draw them? And once you and I get saved, Satan works hard behind the scenes when we don't even know it to keep us from this book. If he can keep us from this book, we have no knowledge of God, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, it won't register like it does with the Holy Spirit blesses this word that he inspired to give us about who God is and what he's doing in our life. So the Bible tells us how to be saved, yes. It tells us how to be forgiven of sin, yes. It tells us how to develop kinds of relationship with God that God wants with us. But during the difficult times in the Christian life, the Word of God can sustain us and hold us and hold us up and be a blessing to us to have a word from God. I want to tell you, to know that we have something from God, to me, is better in words than just in feelings. People don't have feelings. Man, when I feel bad, I don't feel too good. The Word of God sustains us. I felt bad at times and couldn't try to increase my feelings something. Even sometimes I told them I'd come in here and play and singing and doing things and have a feeling. But I don't get what I need when I'm down in feelings like I do with the Word of God. God has promised to bless His Word in our heart. And the psalmist said, if I hide it, the Word of God in my heart, I'll not sin against Him when it's there. So during difficult times of Christian life, the Word can sustain and hold us. It is not so much feelings or an attitude that gets the Christian through difficult times. It's the relying on the absolute Word of God and the promise of God. So Christians need to open their hearts and minds to the Lord and allow Him to speak to them through His precious Word. And here we find that He gives us the strength that's needed. Sometimes He may not answer the prayer like we ask, as Paul tells us, but He could say, my grace is sufficient to you and for you till I get you where that you're going. You don't see that now, but I see where you're going. So God's grace is sufficient. So He helps us understand after salvation what God is doing. So what are some things in here, and I just stick to the time. I want you to look with James. There's four things that I see here that he talks about in these few verses. Look in verse 21. First of all, he said, we're talking to saved people here. Hey, let me clear it. I don't care how good an intellectual person is. I don't care how good they can read. If they're lost, they'll not understand this book from a spiritual standpoint. The natural man receiving not the things. That's a verse you want to hide in your heart. When someone tries to change that, understand, it's foolishness unto a natural man who has not the Spirit of God. It don't seem to make sense. And so now he's talking about, notice in verse 21, he says this. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Lay this apart. To study God's Word and to understand it, it is not so much the intellect that's involved, though it's needed, as it is one's moral condition. He's talking about you need a purity of heart. And the only way you can have a purity of heart is like you do when you got saved. Be sure sin is confessed and under the blood, because we have to have a clean heart as a child of God to understand the purity of God's Word. There's no use for God to tell us to do something if we're not going to say, Lord, something's right. Yeah, I know this is wrong, and put it under the blood. And the best way to do that, read, we have 1 John 1, 9. Oh, it's an antidote. It's that which in turn helps us get where we need to be to do what we need to do. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here he talks about the purity of heart. Now, I want you to notice the word used here describes filthiness. It surprised me in looking this up. The word filthiness here can literally mean in the flesh when you can't hear with your ears and there's nothing wrong with your hearing, but it's stopped up with earwax. He said, what do you say? I can't hear a thing. You need to go to the doctor. Get there, and the doctor said, it don't matter. You just got a whole canal full of earwax. If your physical ear is backed up with earwax, you're not going to hear too clear. How many has done that? I have. In fact, I have to go once a year now and have mine cleaned out because I'm a manufacturer of earwax. And they're about to pass. I wish I could. Sometimes she pulls things. Dr. P, in fact, I've got to go see her for a special thing now in a couple of weeks. Sometimes she pulls stuff out of her ear. I don't see how in the world she got it. I thought she put it in there before she pulled it out. You ever seen that? I don't see how I heard anything sometimes. But here, this word means earwax. So one needs to clean out his or her ears so they can hear physically. And God is using a word that means like earwax. He said, for you to understand spiritual things, You've got to have your spiritual ears clear, and you do that through purity. And purity comes when sin is confessed, and you open your book and you walk to this book clean before God. Then you have a good heart where I can fill it full of my word. And so he goes on. The word is used to describe this. And whatever hinders one from hearing God's word needs to be removed, cleaned out, because that's like earwax in a physical body. And I'm glad God gives me some things at times so I can understand this. But when you talk about my spiritual ears, what is that? It's the heart where God the Holy Spirit lives to reveal this truth. And as my physical ears get stopped up, in turn I can't hear, something has to be removed. And God has said, son, as a child of mine, if you're going to hear, I'm a spirit, I'm coming to you, and you must worship me in spirit and truth. Anytime you get out of that frame, you and I are not connected as far as prayer is concerned. So you worship me through spirit because I'm a spirit. And so there's something in the way. It's like earwax in the body. You're not hearing because you can't hear due to something in the way. Something is blocking you from me. And by the way, it doesn't mean you're not my child. It just means you need to understand. We've got to have a relationship that I say be, not what you think you ought to be. And if you're going to understand this book, you need to be sure that you have a clean heart when you approach me. So whatever hindered God from hearing then needs to be removed. Perhaps one of the reasons so many have problems understanding God's word is they actually, their lives need cleaning up to be able to hear. Oh, they talk about what they know. But then you find it goes over into lean sometimes. If you're going to talk about salvation and God, and they don't believe that Jesus Christ is who he is, folks, you and I are wasting our time. We're wasting our time because without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Without Jesus Christ, there's no salvation. Without Jesus Christ, we can just chart our course like everybody else does. In turn, end up abandoned from God, because the only way to approach God is through Jesus Christ. So if one becomes a student of the book, and it's important that all sin be confessed to the heart search as you search the Word of God, and therefore be pure as we can be. And the best way to pure as you and I get is to confess our sin if there's anything there. And sometimes you can get that. You get your heart clean before God into God's Word, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And we see this. Then there is a habit of living the old human way of life. After we get saved, you heard me say we bring a lot of baggage over. I like things that we hear in the scriptures for you. If you listen in John chapter 11, verse 44, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But did Lazarus continue to wear his grave clothes? No. When he came through that entrance of the hall after Jesus had called him by name, he said, loose him and let him go. He don't need grave clothes anymore. Put something new on him. Brother Keith hit this morning, the prodigal son. That's what the father said about the prodigal son. And he come, as he came back, nothing, rags. And the father came to him and, put clothes on him, shoes on him, put a ring on him, had a feast for him. You don't live. If you're going to be with God, you don't live the old way like you used to live. Unless it was some holy about it you didn't know about and did accidentally. And not many people lost do holy things accidentally. They do things community-wise to help, but not what we see about God. And so in Luke chapter 15, 22, remember the prodigal son as he returned home from wandering? What did his father do? He took the rags off. He put those clothes on, shoes on, and so forth. In other words, the old way of living, things were removed and replaced. So as a Christian, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But there's still some things of the old life that are still there. And that's where this life of living is to put off the old and put on the new. And so as one studies the Word of God, he or she learns how God wants him or her to live, and there will be the need to get rid of some old baggage and replace them with what the Lord wants to replace, which had to do with the new life. I'm glad I was raised on a farm, because nowadays they do something my dad would never do. Maybe it's just as good. I don't know. I don't see how it could be, though. Years ago, man, when we got through a crop, we had to go out there and diss that thing. We had to diss it good, knock down the rows, diss it up, go back with a one-horse plow and plow that whole thing, take you a week to plow one field, and then get it ready, and then you had to go there and run the rows, and then you had to plant and all that. Then when you got it planted, you had to weed it with a hoe, and you had to, what I'm talking about, you're a farmer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you think about that, don't you prepare the soil to get rid of the weeds? And when planting a garden, even after planting, you have to hoe and do some things to keep down the old things that were there. And God uses that for us to understand when you get saved, there's a lot of old things keep coming that you have to keep putting off. You take the spiritual word of God and hoe it out. And you find hiding the word in your heart will help you understand things. So you have to clean the heart. The second thing you have to understand, you have to be teachable. Look with me in verse 21. He also said, wherefore may lay apart all futility of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. In other words, receive with meekness that which can save your soul. This is have a teachable attitude and spirit. I mean, what good to read if you're not going to let it do what it can do for you in life? Meekness is not a sissy word. It's not a sissy thing. Meekness, ladies and gentlemen, is having one's strength under control. God wants to put the Christian under His control, under His authority, under His wants, under His sensitivity to His leadership, ready to respond at any time to and for Him. Does that not make sense? See, we've got so much today that being saved is going somewhere or another, having a good time in church, shouting and going outside, and let's just go. But ladies and gentlemen, that don't help us grow. It makes us feel good. But the only thing to sustain us in the last days is this book hid in our heart. It must be hid there. And I must understand there's a formula for it. And without that formula, you and I will never understand it. And it starts with Jesus Christ. And so it's been ready at times to respond to what the Lord wants rather than doing what one wants. And Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak it of myself. John 7, verse 17. Now, I believe that. If a man really wants the will of God, and he'll get in this book, the Holy Spirit will teach him the things that needs to be taught. And you can converse with others, and through each other studying, shade off the things that are not, that need shaving. Sometimes we need to understand there are some things that's not just fitted right, and when we see there's something not fitted right, do what we need to, that it would fit, and let God fit it, and not we are trying to fit it ourselves. And so, being teachable is learning God's truth, not by just reading the words, but by obeying God's word. That's a teachable spirit. It's a receivable spirit. I receive the word of God as I read it. And so to study God's word benefits us from it. And one must be clean and one must be teachable. And then notice another thing he talks about, to put it into practice. Be ye doers, he said, of the word of God, not hearers only. He said, because if a person is a hearer and not a doer, he's deceiving himself. Don't you see a lot of people do that? I've had people say, don't do what I do what I say. Well, it ought to be do what I do and correct me if I say it wrong. Amen. Preacher, you're out of date. I know it. I'm going to be out of this place one of these days, too. I'm talking about out of this world. I'm glad that God brought me up like He did. I didn't understand it at the time. It wasn't easy. But I'm grateful He did because, oh, my, these things are so wonderful to see. Then He said, next thing we should put into practice, be ye doers of the word. If a person doesn't respond to what he or she learns from God's word, that person is self-deceived. Do you know of anybody that you've ever seen that's always praising God but never acts through the week like they do on Sunday? You see, people that just find that there's a difference that's there. There's going to be some difference as far as church because we're not worshiping like we do in church, but the attitude of God should make us be. And by the way, it goes back again to speak with as he talks to begin with, he talks about this, if we're to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And when we want to be, those things will work like they should. If not, they'll be out of place. And people will know that. They'll know it's out of place. And so we need to be careful about some things in this light. Jesus said, everyone that heareth these sins of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a foolish man. Everyone who shall not do them shall be likened to a foolish man. In Matthew 7, 26, he builds a house on the sand. But blessed are these that hear the word of God and keep it, because they're like one that builds upon a good foundation. So it's not enough to hear. Then learn the truth, the Christian must put it into practice because that's how it becomes part of us. The Lord Jesus talks about partaking and eating of His Word. Jeremiah said He ate of it. What does that do? It's like us eating food nutrition. You eat the food and nutrition that comes in us, it will not do this physical body any good unless it comes in. And then it gives everything in the body that's needed nutrition to be able to move as we move in the physical body. And God is saying, this is my Word. It's full of the nutrients you need spiritually. When you partake of that and it comes in, then that will cause you to move in a direction as food helps this body with nutrition to work and do what God wants. Do what the body says to do, then this word will be nutrition that comes in and will refuel the new man and cause that new man to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. But it has to be absolutely controlled in that situation because that's a man or a woman. And so the way to understand the part of the Bible that are not understand is to obey that which we do understand. So why would God reveal more to a person who hasn't act on what he or she's already learned? Jesus said this. He said, he that hath my commandments, or you can talk about his word, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. John 14, verse 21. What a powerful scripture. Not only is it the fact that we obey, the fact we love him will cause us to obey. And he tells us, if a person doesn't keep God's word or his commandment, they really don't love him, so therefore they're deceived. To understand God's word, one must respond to what one learns and obeys and how to obey. And of course, again, we must be clean, we must have a teachable spirit, and we must put into practice what we learn. And then four, quickly, accept what the word of God reveals about ourselves. The Bible has been referred to as a hammer, a sword, a lamp, a bread, the seed, and now it's called a mirror by James. Within its pages, we find reflection of ourselves when we are really like and what we're really like. And James is telling us, when you look in the mirror of God's word, it's not going to lie to us. It's going to really show us who and what we're like. If you don't like it, people stay from it. Maybe that's one reason why people do stay away from it and bring other things in that sounds much better than that. So the Bible itself, the illustration James gives of the two people looking into that mirror, only one glance at themselves, and they're not paying any attention to what they see, not noticing that their hair is messed up and shaven face or dirt on the face because they are so busy, they go out the door looking shabby. And did you know, if you don't look in the mirror, probably you will look a little shabby. You get up every morning. You ever tried to comb your hair and not have a mirror to look at? Even if you have a mirror to look at, you ask the wife or the husband, how does my hair look today? You don't. Well, Barbara, we must have a mess because we're constantly asking that. I turn around and say, is my hair right behind? Because, you know, people's going to be looking at me from behind as much so as the front. Have I got it just a certain way? Why so particular? Because I hope that when I stand here, you'll be more to listen to what I have to say than the way I look. Now, forgive me, some things I can't help. Forgive, God had to do that. But I'm talking about, I hope there's nothing sidetracks that will keep from listening to the Word of God. Please understand what I'm saying. So this illustration James gives is two people making themselves and looking themselves in a mirror. And there's another person, though, gazes at the mirror. They see themselves in the mirror. They take inventory. They notice every little detail, where it's a man that's shaved or his hair or, you know, even the teeth. Where it's a lady, where there's mascara or lipstick or their hair is right, or the blouse or the shirt is right. This is the way Christians are to study the Bible, to see what it reveals about themselves, and then do, change, and start with what is learned with God's help. The mirror of God's word, here's something, reflect. God, please help me see that. Help me with that. Lord, I need your help. I don't know everything, but I thank thee to know that this book's there. And I'm not afraid to spend time in this book. I wonder, folks, I want to ask you a question. I wonder how many reads this book, let alone study it, but how many studies this book every week of your life, at least a number of days. And if we're not, it might be, hear me, and I said honestly, it might be a little bit afraid what it might reveal to us. It might be. Say, I don't know that, but it might be. So to study God's word, one doesn't just skim over it a few hours verses and say, boy, that's it, I got my Bible reading in for the day. Study God's word, one must get his or her heart clean. They have to have the attitude of wanting to learn, then learn and put into practice that which God reveals, and then to accept what God's word reveals about one's true character and make any changes needed in order to be the kind of person God wants us to be, and God will work patiently with us. I'm a very hard person to learn. it's not that I can't learn, but God didn't give me the high IQ. But I'll tell you this, he gave me understanding to use what God's given me to get. When I get it, I get it. And I thank God for that. So the question is this, as we close the night, have we ever really studied God's Word? Or have we just read it? Father in heaven, thank you again. Help us see, Lord, you're great. This is a precious book. It's full of words inspired by God. And Lord, it's there to tell us from Genesis to Revelation your plan and purpose, how we fit in, where we fit in the age of grace, what you've done for us, and what we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, because you loved us enough that Jesus went to Calvary and died, the center point of all things, Father, he take our place. You extract of him eternal death, and therefore gave us an opportunity to be free from sin. One day you'll take us completely out of it. Right now we're dead to sin because of Jesus, what he's done for us. We're not dead from sin because it's around all the time. But we don't have to obey it. We do have the right to obey you. And Lord, we thank you for this book that helps us in life. And as we now look at this thing, how to study the Bible, help us see that when we come to you, Lord, that's a precious time. In the hour by ourselves, prayerfully, in a quietness of the night or the day somewhere or another, and open this precious book and approach it and then ask the Holy Spirit to please help everything I read today, every research, everything that I leave the book and go to other places and try to check out. I thank you so much for that, Lord. And in turn, keep my attention directly toward the God who loved me and the Savior who died for me, and the Holy Spirit lives in me, so I be submitted to him. And Father, when I do find an error that I mistakenly, because of ignorance, help me understand to clean it and get it right by confessing it. And know I have that privilege that God gives us in 1 John 1:9, for the things of God as much so as the things of the flesh. And I thank you tonight. I pray this session, now the first part, how to study God's Word, would be a beginning to give us an understanding that this book is to be approached with a holy thought. It's not to be approached casually. I can't read it like I read a novel. I can't read it like I read another book that's been written. I have to read it and ask the Holy Spirit who inspired it, help me. And even the times when others may know more than I do, help me adjust, because we really want you to use us, Lord, for your glory. Thank you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.